Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with Chris Vermeulen, founder and editor of The Technical Traders. Now Chris, let's focus on the energy sector because it's a pretty interesting little divergence that we are seeing within energy. You and I have talked a number of times about the balance between the top performing sectors and the worst performing sectors and why it is always important to note which sectors are outperforming and which sectors are truly struggling. And right now we're getting the top performing and the worst performing sectors all within the energy sector. So you look at solar companies, clean energy, both of these ETFs. So whether you're using, let's say, TAN for solar companies or PBW for clean energy, these are completely outperforming. I have a weekly chart up here and both of these ETFs have just screamed higher over the past about 2.5 months. Well, the worst performing sectors, and this doesn't have to be energy, but they are in energy, it is oil and uranium. Chris, what does this tell you about the energy sector and how you think people should be investing in the energy sector?
Yeah, it's really interesting what's kind of happened. And I think a lot of this is hinging on COVID. I mean, it's amazing how COVID has turned some businesses into just absolute gold mines, and then it's just completely crushed and killed other businesses. It's a real change in the way the economy runs and how people work and how people live and purchase. And you look at these energy sectors. So as you know, I talk about BAN, which is a strategy I use called Best Asset Now. And I've got an algorithm that kind of sorts these sectors based on technical patterns, based on performance, a few other things. And I can sort all these sectors. And right now we are seeing the two leading sectors being TAN, which is up 240%. Since the March lows, and it is solar panels, solar companies. And then the next performing ETF is the PBW, Clean Energy ETF, up 200%. And it makes the NASDAQ look like chump change. It really blew my mind when you look at these and how much they've performed. And then you look at the other end of the spectrum. What are the two worst performing sectors? It happens to be uranium, which is obviously not a good energy. It is very dirty energy. It's scary, nuclear. No one likes the thought of that. And then the energy sector ETF itself, XLE, which is down the worst performing. And it's more or less, you know, crude oil kind of based, heavy weighted. So it's funny that the two sectors, as you said, are clean, the best. The two worst are the two dirtiest types of energies. And you look at why this could be happening. I mean, we don't know for sure, but there was a report put out that since COVID hit, energy consumption, electricity, has gone through the roof. And of course, what do solar panels and wind farms do? I mean, that's what they produce, renewable energy. If this world is spiking in the amount of energy it's needed, now that everyone just stays home and runs their business from home, I mean, that's a huge thing. And now people aren't traveling. They're not driving to work. So the oil has gone way down. So it's really interesting how we've got this big change. And, you know, solar companies were out of favor and struggled for a long time. And now here they are just absolutely crushing the market and taking off. So it's really interesting how this is playing out and how they're both in the same, the leaders and laggards are in the same sector, just a different type of energy.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see that. And you do have a good point, right? People are staying home, so they're using more electricity rather than saying driving to work or going on trips. But do you think that this is sustainable, especially for, let's say, the solar companies and the clean energy companies? These ETFs, as you said, are up 2 to 3 times just in the last few months. So how sustainable is this run higher? Have we already missed this?
I think a good chunk of it's been missed. I mean, I think most of it's been missed, to be honest. If you look at the volume and how the price action has moved on TAN, the type of price action we've seen in the last 2 weeks where it rallied more or less 50% in the last 2 weeks, volume is piled in. It's actually a very similar move to what we saw in February of this year. We saw high volume, big move in price just before it crashed. And when you look at who's getting into it, so there's this big volume spike. When you see huge volume piling in when something's already up 200 plus percent, that's usually kind of the FOMO, people fear of missing out. They need to jump into the hottest sector and they just drive prices up. And that's what I feel like we're kind of in for that sector. When you go and you look at Robinhood. So if you go and you look at Robinhood, you type in TAN, you can see that the amount of traders piling into the TAN ETF, it's going to show that now it's mainstream. Everyone's caught on or catching on, and that's really happened over the last, you know, 5 or 10 days. I mean, it's been very rampant, people piling in. So I feel like now that the masses are kind of catching on, this move may be pretty much done, because I mean, 240% move in a few months is unsustainable. What goes straight up is typically comes straight back down to some extent. So I'm a little concerned at these prices. Not something I want to buy way up here, but it is very interesting to see how this economy is changing and how different energies are completely diverging and which ones are the leaders at this time.
So how about on the flip side, the energy ETFs that are struggling? Uranium, look, it still seems like countries are just not building the reactors that need to be built to drive uranium higher. That's a more specific story. But when it comes to oil, how sustainable is it to think that the oil market is going to remain in this imbalance? A lot thanks to countries and individuals just not being able to travel and not having to go into the office.
Yeah, I think oil is going to be under pressure for a long time. I mean, I feel like it was going out of favor years ago. I mean, as soon as we started to see electric cars step in and the solar companies really became popular and wind farms starting to pick up. I mean, that's the end. That's the beginning of the end for oil long term. Obviously, there's not a lot of transportation going on. There's like 3 years worth of supply of crude oil stuffed in every barrel and in-ground pool and reservoir possible in floating boats, right? So crude's got quite a battle, and I don't think we're going to see it go back up to those crazy lofty prices we've seen, you know, $150 a barrel, even $80 a barrel. I mean, I think it's going to have a lot of troubles going forward simply because there's just so much of it, and there's clean energy coming on board, and we're just not using it.
Yeah, not much more to say about that because, hey, I'm also seeing the bearish case for oil, but it's kind of interesting to see oil rebound back into the 40s. As many people are saying, you know, oil should be under pressure, all these reasons why their bearish case for oil is there. How do you think it's still being able to hold right in and around this 40 level?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it got really oversold and it's having a bounce back up. I mean, there was a huge gap on the chart in this 40 range. So it has come back up. It's filled that level. If you zoom way out on the charts, you can see like 2014 and 2015. If you look at 2015, there's a huge bounce on the crude oil chart after a precipitous waterfall. And I feel like that's the kind of bounce we're in. And I think we're going to see crude continue to move out of favor. It's going to make a series of lower lows. I mean, how do you go lower than zero? But I mean, if you look on the chart and take away that zero pricing we saw on the futures, I think we're going to continue to see crude work itself back down to that $20 per barrel, potentially even go lower. I mean, it really is going to hinge down to what happens with COVID over the next 6 months. I know overseas in Europe, they're starting to lock down. They're having major issues over there. I mean, everyone is, but they're ahead of us in terms of wave two coming into effect. Of course, if the world starts to go back into lockdown, and then crude is really done for. So I think we could see it go way back down. I think this is our overreaction bounce. There's just so much of this stuff just everywhere, and the demand is minimal that it's going to have a downward pressure. I mean, anything going up, for all we know, there's manipulation of maybe holding the prices up. I know the big oil players love to try and keep their prices up, but from a technical standpoint, this is a big dead cat bounce like we saw in 2015, and I think we're going to be heading back down to the 20s and potentially lower over the next 1 to 2 years. I think this is a long-term trend to the downside.
Yeah, fair enough. I also have that same outlook for oil, but hey, who knows? Maybe things will change drastically and we'll see a different picture for oil in general. As a final comment now, Chris, on the Technical Traders website, you have both long-term trades and short-term trades. I think right now is a great time to talk about the balance of both because of the fact of the election in the U.S. being really less than a month away. So we're definitely going to see some short-term volatility and potentially new long-term trends after that election is done with. What is your strategy balancing out short-term and long-term trades right now? Are you getting aggressive with either?
No, we are backing off in both. I mean, we're walking through a landmine right now. COVID flaring up, president getting sick, the two presidents battling it out. I mean, we got banks doing mega fraud. We've got the elections. We don't know who's going to win. When is a stimulus plan coming out? How big is it coming out? I mean, there's so much headline risk. And the volatility in the market, while the VIX remains low, to me, the volatility is through the roof. The VIX is giving everyone a false feeling that things are fairly stable. But the reality is there's very little market depth in almost all asset classes. So when selling starts, the market just collapses. It falls several percent a day, like the overall stock market. I mean, it can fall 10 plus percent in a 3 or 4 day window, no problem. And we haven't had any real big bad news that's been a real surprise yet. So this market is very risky. Long-term portfolio, we trimmed some profits off. We've locked in some cash. We still are long equities, but we have definitely trimmed our position back because we just want to reduce exposure. Because I think you're right, we're going to have some big price action here, and there's no point in riding it out with 100% of your portfolio and getting panicked and then getting excited. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride that is not really healthy to be on. And when it's with your long-term funds, it's not something you want to mess around with. It's better to miss some gains than to try to make everything you can, but take a huge loss when some big event unfolds. So we've trimmed our positions. I think you still need to be long equities. We're long precious metals. In terms of shorter term analysis, I think you still got to look at which sectors are breaking out into new highs, new trends after a multi-week consolidation. I think utilities are coming to life. The transportation index is coming to life. Home builders, all these sectors are really strong, top performing, and they're starting to break out. So those ones could have some really good room to run here over the next couple of weeks. But if you look at cycle analysis, the seasonality during an election year like this year, October is a really volatile month. I think we could see a sharp pullback, a sharp bounce. That's what it shows going back like 30 years during this year each time. October is usually lower with a lot of price swing in it, more than normal Octobers. And you just got to be really aware that it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride.
Oh, it is. I completely agree with that, Chris. And you know what? It gives us a lot to talk about, but now is not the time to be getting, I think, too aggressive in any direction. Chris, thanks for your time, buddy. I will post a link to the Technical Traders website, and we will chat again in another couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Take care.